Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla, and I'm the online engagement director here at Trinity. And there are lots of things that happen in this church building every week that maybe you don't know about. And we're going to talk about one of those things today, and that is Trinity's ESL, or English as a Second Language program. And so I am very happy to be sitting down here with three of the women who volunteer in that program. Thank you so much for joining me, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So maybe we'll just get started and do some introductions. You can say sort of who you are and how long you've been working with the ESL programs. Maybe we'll start here.
Okay, I'm Ruth, and I started in Trinity's ESL ministry in the planning stages before the classes actually got started. So it was Sheila Joshi and I that met together at Diane's request to start an ESL ministry, and this was in 2001. So this is 24 years ago.
Okay.
So I was involved in the planning, and we did a few Saturday training volunteers, and we had a really good response. So we started with three classes per week, Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, and Thursday evening. And so Sheila took the morning classes, and I was leading the evening class. So I was already working full-time as an ESL teacher at that point.
Okay.
And that's how come. And Sheila had experience too. So I did the evening class for 5 years, and then I took a long break.
Yeah.
15 years or something like that. I retired from full-time teaching 7 years ago. So then I came back to the Trinity ESL ministry about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm still there.
Okay. That's great.
Okay.
And we'll move over here.
My name is Diane, and I started with ESL as a dream in my mind, just hoping we could get something going. I was working on the staff here at Trinity.
Okay.
And I really wanted to see something develop with ESL. And we had the blessing of some new person arriving in a church as a newcomer, as Sheila Joshi, and she was a missionary, and in, I think it was West Africa somewhere.
Cameroon, I think.
And she taught ESL. And when I was talking with her, I thought, oh, maybe we can really get something going now.
Okay.
Somebody knows what to do. And so I put a call out to some people I knew, like Ruth and some other ladies, and we got together and did the planning. So I've been involved for about 22, 23 years now when we first started this.
Yeah, great.
So, guess I should say that I was sort of coordinating it with the people who were leading it. And then when I retired in 2012, I took on being one of the regular teachers on Tuesday mornings and continued doing that until COVID kind of put the kibosh on our being able to meet in person. And Ruth and Sandy Howell went ahead and did an online class. And I don't know, how many did you have?
Maybe? About 10 to 12, students. And they were, we all managed to figure out how to use Zoom. That's when it was all new. And they were regular, attend every week from January to June of that year.
Oh, that's great.
So then when we were able to start getting meeting in person, another one of our initial leaders, Grace Dolly, and Leela Ramparas, who's not a member of Trinity, but she was very much involved in teaching. Anyway, the two of them got together with a couple of the students who really wanted to keep meeting, and and so they met outside in the, on a picnic bench for a little while, and then started, when we were able to meet in person inside the building, they came in and started promoting it again, and I came on and Ruth came on as table facilitators. Yeah. And then that's when Allie joined the picture.
Okay, great. So, Allie, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Okay, I'm Allie, and my story started during COVID with ESL. I had been tutoring some middle school students and in English. And I thought, during COVID, I thought, well, I've got all this time on my hands. I'll actually do a formal qualification for teaching English as a second language. So I did online college work during COVID, got the qualification, and as I heard about the classes starting up again, I thought, I went to Diane. I said, Diane, I'd love to help. I've had the training. I've got loads of ideas. And she said, yes, please. So okay. I'm 3 years teaching downstairs on a Tuesday morning now.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, so you already mentioned a little bit about some of the history of this ESL program. I'm wondering, Diane, you said it was sort of a dream, a thing that you had thought about. So maybe what like prompted that dream for you?
Oh my, well, we used to live in Australia.
Okay.
6 years before we came to Canada. And the church I was going to there, one of the ladies taught ESL as a part of a ministry. And it just intrigued me so. And I thought it was such a great idea. And so I just kind of had that in the back of my mind of something that maybe we could do here at Trinity.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So right now, you've talked about sort of some of the history of what this has looked like, especially through COVID. What does it look like now? When and where is this happening?
We meet once a week. Okay. We're one class at the moment, and we meet on a Tuesday morning between 10 and 12. So we have our 2 hours every week. And we have, probably in our register, we have over 30 students.
Okay.
And we look, every Tuesday, we're looking really between kind of 20 and 25 students.
Okay, that's great.
It's fantastic. And we have representation from many countries, from China, Japan, Russia, Egypt.
Morocco,
Mauritius.
Korea, Japan.
And in fact, this week we have a brand new student from the Ivory Coast in Africa. So we really have lots of different home languages. And when we get together on a Tuesday morning, we split the morning into two sessions of teaching. The first hour, and everybody loves the coffee at the break and an informal catch-up. And then we do a second session. But we want our students to learn about Canada and our culture and our traditions. They're coming in with their own backgrounds, and there's Thanksgiving, for example. Mm-hmm. Many of them have no idea. They don't celebrate Thanksgiving in their country. So there's vocabulary around that. There's food there, and we can make it interesting by doing some kind of grammar, past tense, future tense.
Okay.
So we're always looking to weave in all different aspects of language and make it fun and engaging. And also, of course, we are a church. We are Christians, even though this isn't a Christian-based teaching ministry. We do manage to, at every opportunity, just share our faith. So Easter's very important and Christmas is very important.
Sure.
And we can bring in our faith around Thanksgiving, and even we have Valentine's Day coming up. We'll be talking about love.
Sure.
And this week, New Year, we kicked off and we were talking about change. Mm. Not quite New Year's resolution, we were talking about change in New Year's and idioms, a change of pace, a change of life. But we managed to bring in, and we talked about a change of heart.
Mm.
What does a change of heart mean? So we're always looking to be practical, but also to have fun.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Teaching grammar and having fun.
I think that's possible.
It that way too.
Me too.
And the students really have bonded. A lot of them have made friends, and they really enjoy coming. They usually sit at the same table with the discussion, our facilitator, what we do, Ruth and I.
We have our tables.
And we've just really bonded with our people and they with each other, and they have a great time.
So the way we set it up downstairs, we have four main tables in front of the teaching board, and we have volunteer teachers at each table. So we have a really strong team. So that's four volunteers at each table when our lead teacher does the main teaching, and then we break into smaller groups for discussion. It means that there's more one-on-one interaction with the students, and we even have a couple of floating teachers where we have people that maybe need some one-on-one support. We can go from one to one, and then of course someone is taking turns at putting the kettle on and the coffee on.
Yes.
So it's a busy morning with lots of leadership.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a really strong team.
We do.
That helps make this run.
I think the last ministry fair we had, we picked up two.
Yes.
There were so new people, and that really took off.
Yeah, that's great. So you said you have, 20 to 25-ish people who are coming out. Is there, a typical length of time that someone will sort of participate in this ministry? Like once they're in, will they stay for years or months?
So I think the longest one is Faina, because I remember her being in the class way back in the beginning, that's early years. And I was surprised when I came back in 2019, she's still here and she's a regular. She comes out rain or shine. She uses a walker, so it's not easy for her to get out.
Sure.
But she looks forward to this more than anything else.
Sure.
It's her one outing. And then there's other people who are have been coming for years. There's a group of older Chinese women they live near each other, some in the same building. They're a really strong group of friends together, and they come as a group. And you know, sometimes we look at the weather and say, we might not get many students today. It's icy, it's snow, it's cold. And some of them walk over here.
Right.
And every time we're proved wrong because they all show up.
Yeah.
So they're pretty dedicated. And then at the same time, we just keep getting new ones in all the time. And that part of that is some of the students are already coming. We'll go, they meet someone, they go to a library group or something, and they say, oh yeah, come to our ESL, and they introduce friends. And so we're always getting new students in.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd say we have a few that have been coming at least 10 years.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they're coming just as much for the community as for the lessons.
Very much, right? Yeah.
And it's often probably one of the few places they can speak English, because they're at home either alone or with family. Yeah. A lot of seniors involved, and they're just pretty isolated. And they, when they're in their comfort zone, they speak their language, of course.
Yes.
And so we're one of the few places they can come and use their English.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and really get that chance to practice, right? In a sort of low stakes.
Mm-hmm. It's a safe place for them. They can make mistakes. They can just give it a go. And that's what, when we're around the table, we make sure everybody has a chance to participate and draw them out. So,
And we hear from them that they, especially for our seniors, they, at home, when they're seeing their grandchildren, they're being encouraged to speak in their home language because, of course, the grandchildren are speaking English at school and they're in an English environment. So it's important for the families to maintain their home language and their heritage and their culture. So and sometimes our students even say to us, my grandchildren don't want to speak English to me. They say I'm too slow or I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And so they don't want to speak English with me. So our students don't get as much practice.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So are most of the students then seniors, or do you have other age groups that are sort of part of the class?
Well, it's quite a mix.
Yeah. It is a mix. Sometimes we have some students where maybe we have some women and their partners, their spouse, are on a work contract.
Okay.
So they've been brought over here for a couple of years. So we've had some students come and then we're all really sad to say goodbye.
Sure. Yeah.
And they come and then they go. And we maybe have some mums while their kids are at school. And also we've seen people where they've come in and they're fresh immigrants and they don't have work yet.
Right.
So they're looking for work and they're trying to improve their English and find out, you know, we share information with them about, you know, going to the library. We've had our local councillor has come in and spoken to us and talked about facilities in Mississauga and things that they can get involved in. So we do see some of our younger students are more likely to come for a while and then move on.
Sure.
But our seniors are dedicated and regular.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've already talked a little bit about some of those needs that this program is meeting. Obviously, learning English, building a sense of community. What other sort of needs do you see being met through this ministry?
Sorry, you go, Daya.
No, you.
Yeah, go ahead, Ali.
Well, we just keep saying, we keep banging on about community.
Yeah.
This is people, especially after COVID, people were isolated and this gets people out of the house and it gives them fellowship. And sometimes we say, we have discussions as teachers, we have different levels, beginners, intermediate, and we say, oh, should we change up our intermediates and separate them from beginners and do different lessons? Because right. we all work to one class at the moment, and we just keep coming back to, but it's the friendships. Mm-hmm. People come together and they help each other at the tables. Mm. So we want to provide community within our local community.
Yeah.
You know, that's very important to us.
Yeah, for sure.
But we've been inviting them to attend the community dinners that Trinity has
right.
put on.
Yep.
And you know that.
Yeah, yeah. that's been a really, they're very excited about the community dinners now, and there's usually over a table of ESL students, yeah. And so they've it's really encouraged them to take their friendships out of a Tuesday morning. Mm. They're exchanging numbers. There's more of them beginning to meet up now outside, and some of them have even volunteered to help at the community dinner, not just eat
okay.
the
oh,
community
that's
great. Dinner, which yeah. is great. Yeah. And another, we've also, it's been a really nice, it's, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, it's a nice way to introduce faith in a respectful way, because we have other faiths coming. We have some Muslim students. We have people who have no faith at all. Mm. And we have students who attend other churches in Mississauga. And we want to be respectful to other people's beliefs and styles of worship and the way they would approach faith. So a gentle way of introducing faith, but then also just an opportunity to say, would you like to come to church on Sunday?
Right.
And we have an alpha course running. This is an introduction to faith. You can learn a bit more about faith. And a couple of our Muslim students have come along and done some of the alpha classes. Mm-hmm. And we've had some students do the whole alpha course and find Jesus. And also for some of our students who are already Christian, alpha's a great way. They don't know how to talk about Jesus in English.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's been useful for them to come along and just it's a whole new vocabulary.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Even for those of us who speak English, sometimes Christianity is a whole new vocabulary.
Well, I had a fun story. I had one student who's a Christian, and he said to me, "Oh, my Bible," he said, "I have a Bible," and he said, "and I am a Christian," but he said, "I just don't understand the reading the Bible in English."
Sure.
And we talked for a minute, and I said, "What version are you using?" And he brings out a King James Bible.
Right.
And he has an older style, and he didn't understand thee and thou. Yeah. And so sure. we managed to connect him with a Bible that he understood the vocabulary in much easier.
Right.
It's amazing yeah. what comes up when yeah, you're just having sure. conversations downstairs.
For sure. Yeah. So you've mentioned that this isn't sort of necessarily Christian program, but yeah. it is, as you've said, a way that you can introduce some faith elements there. I'm wondering for you guys as leaders, as volunteers in this program, how do you see your faith connect with this work? Like, are there ways that you have grown in your faith, or ways that you sort of see this as an expression of your faith?
Well, it's definitely an expression of it in terms of wanting to be loving and caring for all people. Mm-hmm. And I think we just kind of admire their abilities to just start something new and start new lives, coming to a new country and having to learn a different language and find their way. And it's just an encouragement to us to see how that works. And I love sharing the Christian story too at Christmas and Easter. And mm-hmm. it's just really rewarding to see.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What about for you, Ali? Yeah.
Well, I mean, we read in our scripture about loving our neighbor. Mm-hmm. And this is, it's an expression of love. It's sharing our skills. You know, so often, recently in our teaching series in church, we were talking about the gifts. Oh, Bill Crawford was talking about our spiritual gifts.
Right.
And we've all been given gifts. And, you know, if ESL is training and teaching is training that a lot of us have had along the way, we are using our gifts and we are sharing with others. Mm-hmm. And we're called to do that. And also just caring for the vulnerable. So many of our students are vulnerable in different ways. And we can provide a safe and caring environment for them to come. And just their perseverance is so encouraging. Mm. They, like Ruth said, they come out in the cold and the rain. And even over the summer, they don't want to stop. They want to keep going. They don't want a break. They want to keep learning and trying. And that's encouraging for us. So that makes our job as a volunteer easy when they are so willing to show up every week.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that strikes me is just the variety of cultures and races and mm-hmm. that all combine together, and mm-hmm. people that come from traditions that were arch enemies are now sitting around the table learning English together. It's quite something.
Yeah,
it is. It's fascinating. You meet all different kinds of people, all the different backgrounds, and to see how they interact with each other and overcome some of those maybe, you know, other preconceived ideas. They just see each other as friends. You're learning English, I'm learning English, but let's help each other. So they're patient with each other. Mm-hmm. And they help each other along. Yeah. So, and they're also very, very appreciative of us, and are giving our time. And I can't remember the number of times they'll say, "Thank you so much. You're so good to do this. I know you're giving up your time," and they know that we're volunteers, and so they just express their appreciation all the time. And we say, you know, but we get as much, maybe more, back from them. And so, you know, and when you're teaching them English, you want them to talk and express themselves. So at the table talk, you want it, it's just interesting to listen to them.
Sure.
They come with all their life experiences. They know a lot of things. They've got interesting ideas and things that they've been through. And so it's interesting to listen. As much as we're teaching you, showing you this language, we want them to use it. And so when they talk to us, getting to know them on that. And as we do sit with more or less the same group every week, you really get to know the students at your table. And you can have a bit of a fun with them and, you know, interact in a very friendly way. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Yeah. When you were talking about this idea of, like, different people from all of these different races, nationalities, backgrounds, like coming together and sitting around the same table, it evoked this idea for me of, like, this is what the kingdom of God is like.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right? Like we read about in Isaiah, you know, the lion will lay down with the lamb. The people who it seems like they could never get along, they're coming together.
Yeah.
And they're supporting one another, as you've said, and learning together, and that's the kingdom of God, I think.
We are really important. Food is important for hospitality for all of us. And two really important times of year for us are our end of semester at Christmas and in June. And we host a, we have a potluck lunch. And this, it's one of my favourites because everybody is so happy to bring along some food from their home country, from their culture. And so we lay, we set out tables and this feast appears of homemade food. Yeah. But we don't just tuck in. Before we tuck in, we all stand around the tables and everybody explains this dish.
Okay.
And how it's made and why it's important and when they eat it and how it forms part of their traditional celebrations. So again, it isn't just about them, our students coming along and learning about Thanksgiving or Easter or our traditions. We are learning about their traditions.
Yeah.
And we're learning about each other.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have any favorite memories or stories that sort of stand out to you from your time? I know that you two in particular have been around a long time, so maybe there's more memories to think through. But
recently, you know, last year, one of our students and who was at my table moved to, I think he moved to Markham. This is Anthony. And he, among other things that he did, he was a guitar player. He taught guitar.
Okay.
And so he said before, at his last meeting before he moved, he wanted to come and sing a song to the teachers and the students. And so he got up at our last potluck meeting there and with his guitar, and then it turned into a bit of a sing-along, right? He sang his song that he wanted to sing to us.
Yep.
And then we just joined in a couple of others with him, and that was really special.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I've had a special relationship with one of our students. She's Shateng from China. She's been coming for at least 10 years. Mm. And when I was teaching a lesson in January, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or something, I talked about New Year's resolutions. And she had the idea that she wanted to write about her life in English so she could have to share with her grandchildren.
Okay.
And she asked if I could edit it for her. And so she would write out a story of something in her experience and send it to me by email, and then I'd edit, correct the English, and then send it back to her, and then she would put it all together. And we did this for several years.
Okay. Wow.
And then her daughter put it together in a book and printed it. So it's just a, you know, a self-publishing thing.
Yeah.
And she was just so thrilled with that. And for me, I learned so much about a woman close to my age growing up in China and going through the Cultural Revolution and how she had to leave school and go off into the forests and do things, and she just brought herself back and finished her education and became a teacher.
Mm.
It was amazing.
And
so we have a special bond.
Yeah. And so cool that you get to really journey with people in that way, right? Yeah, it really is much bigger than just teaching English. It's building these relationships, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about any favorite memories for you, Allie?
Well, I'm a bit newer. This last summer, I really enjoyed a more low-key lesson. There was one lesson over behind the church on the other side of the road, there are a couple of seniors' homes. And we actually, because the camp is using the church, we can't use the church over the summer.
Right.
So we only use the party room in one of the seniors' homes. And it's a bit more unplugged. It's not as formal. It really is very conversation-based. And we had an hour where we talked about childhood memories.
Mm.
And a bit like Diane was explaining, it's really lovely to hear about people's memories from the other side of the world, how they grew up. You know, some of them maybe weren't even able to go to school, and they had to work as children. And so just hearing about their upbringings and hearing about them laughing and just getting into trouble as mm-hmm. children as mm-hmm. well. That's always quite funny when you have someone who's older talking about that and their large families, and then hearing about their stories when they came to Canada, because it wasn't all joy when sure. they came. It was hard. And especially our Chinese students, they having to leave their country because they're unhappy and it's yeah. difficult for them politically. There's been a lot of hardship.
Sure.
And so it's humbling. It's humbling yeah. to be a part of hearing their stories and having their friendship.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, ladies, for sharing these stories, for giving us a little taste of what this ministry is like and all of the ways that it is blessing you and blessing mm-hmm. those that you are working mm-hmm. with. I think for me, it's just this reminder that we can find connection with anyone.
Yeah.
Across any sort of boundaries, mm-hmm. and also a reminder of that need for empathy and for care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, that as you mentioned, folks are struggling. Folks are coming in not knowing yeah. what to do or how, but they're trying.
Yeah,
right. And so extending that empathy in those moments. And thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. I hope that you are also able to find some moments of encouragement and challenges towards empathy and connection. And we will see you again next week.